broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 14th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Wow, first hour was rocking. Our guest, Larry Pratt, discussion of all things liberty. We talked about a handgun for Christmas, man. Wisconsin company called binshot.com buys firearms for every employee this year. Employees are required to take a gun safety course before they can get the gift. And binshot bulletproof glass. Handmade in the USA, we're bringing manufacturing back to our small community, one bulletproof shot glass at a time. Pretty cool stuff. Donald Trump says the Democrats are trying to steal the election. I think he's right. Somebody's trying to steal it, but it's the swamp, not just the Democrats. Republicans are doing it too, Donnie. I'm telling you that Donald needs to get caught up with what's really happening in the swamp, or he's going to continue to make the same mistakes he's made the first 2 years, the next 2 years, which is to continue to put swamp monsters in office. Sad tale to tell. But anyway, in Kennesaw, Georgia, it's the law. Hey, gun owners are supposed to have guns. I'm sorry, homeowners are supposed to have guns. Gun owners are supposed to have guns too. Homeowners are supposed to be gun owners. Maybe I ought to say it that way. Anyway, we also talked about the one media message you never heard from the borderline shooting, which is basically that, hey, even the folks that escaped with their lives, many of them got hurt, are saying, several of them, you know what, good guys with guns would have stopped this sooner. We don't need gun-free zones. Donald Trump promised he would get rid of gun-free zones. Kurt, any word on that? Any update? I don't hear Donald doing much about that dude right now, personally, you know.
Just crickets, as far as I can tell, Sam.
What do we do about it? I mean, we got to get Donald on it.
Yeah, good point. He's probably on it. It's just that you got so many things to be on, you know.
I hear that. But anyway, but he could get Sam and Kurt on it, though. We could help. And Larry Pratt, you know, is free, and he could help and stuff. All right, there's a couple of stories related to the vote fraud stuff going on down there in Florida. Right, Kurt? You got a couple articles on this?
Well, you know, there's a number of them. But so much of it just, it's like you say, if the president wanted to, it seems like, I mean, maybe he already takes advantage of it and the media just doesn't report it, but it seems like there's always these opportunities to highlight the solution. And when you see these voting problems, you know, you could say, look, hey, let's talk about the real fix here, instead of always just talking about the problem and addressing that and moving towards the answer. But you've got, you've literally got reports, Sam, where they're seeing trucks out of Broward County late at night.
Yeah, but that's cool, isn't it, Kurt?
Supervisor's office.
How do you manipulate the election, you know, if you don't do stuff like that, you know?
And they, you know, say they don't know for sure what's in those trucks, you know, and what they're bringing or what they're taking away. And, you know, Sam, I mean, I wish you could just put a sign up that says, no evil allowed here, you know, and then you just have all things perfect. But
yeah,
it just doesn't work.
Well, the headline that I find interesting,
you have to have the supervision.
The headline I find interesting that you gave me, Kurt, the three most insane conspiracy theories that Republicans are using to avoid counting every vote. And again, this is where the, you know, Donald's blaming it on the Democrats, they're blaming it on the Republicans. Same kind of scenario goes on here. I don't know that there's conspiracy theories avoiding the vote, is there, Kurt?
Well, this is what these guys, this is their take on it. It's a raw story. And what was interesting to me is they even mention the Seth Rich story, you know, and act like it's such a dumb idea to, you know, to include that as some, you know, crazy thing that, you know, that kind of thing. And yet there's a lot of evidence, Sam, that says that there was bad stuff that happened there with Mr. Seth Rich and et cetera. But, you know, people just, they want to just, you know, if you say the word conspiracy, then you're just supposed to leave it alone. And yet, maybe somebody should, you know, study up like the Godfather movie or however many, you know, bad guy movies we've seen before where they have conspiring men, you know, and in some cases women, that get together and go, hey, I mean, what about the Ocean's 9, Ocean's 10, Ocean's 11? Weren't those guys conspiring to basically, sure, they were taking money from another bad guy, but they were working together. And do you not think that those kind of things happen in the real world? Or is it just movies?
And well, there you have it. All right, looks like, how do you say this guy's name? He's a Florida rep, Matt Gaetz. Is that how you say it?
Yeah, Gaetz, I'm not sure.
Spell it for me.
You know, G-A-E-T-Z, I think is how you spell it.
All right.
Yeah.
Matt
and,
Gaetz.
You know.
Looks
yeah,
like
the
he,
guys from the guys from up in the panhandle. So he's, you know, from up in North Florida, and he's a representative, a duly elected representative, and he's ticked off because he's like, look, hey, my citizens, the people that voted for me, they want their vote to count. And I'm, you know, down here in two of the 60-something counties in the state of Florida, and he feels like that those two, Broward and Palm Beach counties, are, well, doing stuff that would make the votes of my constituents not count. You know, he, in the story, he says, Gaetz has been very critical of the handling of the ballots in Broward and Palm Beach counties, as those are the only two in the state that were unable to submit their voting tallies by the deadline. He got into a debate with CNN's Chris Cuomo, or as Rush Limbaugh would call him, Cuomo, a couple of days prior about this same issue. You know, he says, I'll be blanked if the people in South Florida are going to dilute the legal votes of my constituents who have a right to a honest, fair, representative republic. Did you hear that? A representative republic.
Oh, wow, that's Sam, usually maybe they talk about democracy over and over and over and over. Wow. They admit we have a constitutional republic. I love it. And then they want these says, these principles. What was that? A fair and honest, what were those words?
Yeah, he says honest, fair, representative republic.
Wow.
And he went on, he says, in the video you just showed, there were armed police that were stopping me just from trying to get an accurate record of what's going in and out of the supervisor of elections office in the middle of the night. I do not know if it was furniture. I do not know if it was election equipment, ballots. What I do know is there's no chain of custody for 80,000 ballots. Those ballots reach 5 pages long, so you're looking at over 404,000 pages of information.
Bottom we line, with that Palm kind of stuff, Beach. You'll never get to the bottom of the elections. You'll never have accountability at all, and the Republicans know it, too. The swamp is guilty, ladies and gentlemen. We need to create accountability, that's for sure. By the way, we tried to call this Matt Gaetz guy, and in typical politician style, I just get a voicemail and no calls back and can't deal with anybody. So there you go. But anyway, we appreciate him speaking out. We think he's got a wise point, and we're grateful for it. We just wish we could work together to help tell the tale of liberty a little more than the mainstream dribble is doing. So there you have it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, our guest, Rachel Alexander. She is a reporter, a journalist, does a phenomenal job. We picked her piece up this time on WND.com. Rachel, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, so catch me up a little bit about who you are, because some of your articles appear in WorldNet Daily, but you work for another group, right?
Yeah, I actually work for The Stream.
Spell that.
But I write a weekly column that I have run on Town Hall, and now WND's running it as well, and a couple of other sites like Christian Post.
Excellent. What's The Stream? Tell me what that is for a second.
Basically, we've been around for almost 4 years now, and it's a conservative Christian site that posts a lot of articles that are going to be Judeo-Christian based, and we've got a lot of syndicated writers, and then there's just us regular employees like me.
Okay, now tell me, how do you spell it? How do people go to the website?
It's stream.org.
S-T-R-E-A-M?
Yep.
Stream.org. All right, so you can check out Rachel's incredible columns consistently there. But she wrote an incredible article, ladies and gentlemen, that we just have to talk about. We just have to promote. As you know, we've been working on prison reform for 25-plus years. We realize that, you know what, there is no liberty with innocence in prison. That's one of our phrases. And Rachel Alexander wrote an incredible column in defense of former Congressman Steve Stockman. And it basically says the deep state imprisons another good guy, WND.com. I think it's a great headline, and I think that's kind of the situation here. Most people don't really understand the deep state's a new term, but the principles of what the deep state's been doing has been happening for a long time, Rachel.
Yeah, and the thing is it hasn't been cleaned out yet. You know, even though Sessions is in charge of the Justice Department, you know, he just was asked to leave because he hasn't done anything, and he's letting these vile prosecutions continue.
Rachel Alexander with us, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry to have a break so quick. We were having trouble connecting with her, so we started with a couple of other stories. We'll come right back, drill right into the article and more, ladies and gentlemen. Stream.org, is that right?
That's correct.
And WND.com. Check out Rachel Alexander's columns. You're listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they're, you know, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Alexander, riding shotgun, stream.org, the website she writes for, as well as WND.com and many others. And I got to switch gears a little bit. I know we were supposed to talk about this article about Steve Stockman, and we're going to. Right after the half-hour break, we'll drill into that in details. But we were talking about the three most insane conspiracies that Republicans are using to not count every vote, they claim. And you've got Donald Trump saying the Democrats are trying to rig the elections, and I agree with Donald that the Democrats are, but I also agree Swamp Monster Republicans are and have been forever as well. But anyway, I went to thestream.org on the break, and Rachel's got an incredible column about this topic. So let's drill into that for a quick second. Sorry to switch gears, Rachel, but it is a topic you wrote talking about affidavits, sworn documents, right?
Yeah, basically in the 2016 election, this woman was working for Broward County Elections, And she wrote in this affidavit that she saw people sitting and marking ballots. They were unmarked on one side of them, and then on the other side they'd be marked. And she said she observed this behavior go on for over a minute. And after she observed this, she got fired.
Fired for what? Saying that she saw this?
They never told her why she was fired, but she figured it was because she saw this. And the Attorney General's office did come in and do an investigation, and they concluded that they were merely marking ballots for overseas military who had faxed in their ballots because, you know, they weren't scannable unless they were from a, you know, filled-in real ballot. And so that's what they determined. But I just think the whole situation is suspicious. If that was true, why didn't she see the faxes sitting next to these people as they were marking the ballots? And why was she fired? A lot of it just doesn't make sense.
Well, what makes sense is they're committing vote fraud, and anybody that's willing to stand against it is literally in trouble. The deep state has got every one of us, I hate to say this, with the crosshairs on us, whether it be me in the media, whether it be Steve Stockman, former congressman, whether it be Rachel Alexander, it doesn't matter. If you stand for God, family, and country, if you stand to protect life, liberty, and property, I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, you are in the crosshairs right now. I mean, is that overstated, Rachel?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I've been in the crosshairs myself. I have another article out about that. But, I do think that the bigger and more well-known you are, the more you're going to be attacked, especially if you're standing up for conservative Christian values. And it's vicious. And I hope that Trump is able to put someone in at the DOJ that cleans it up now.
Well, the question is the DOJ even constitutional?
That's an interesting
point. I submit to you the Department of Justice isn't even constitutional because there's very few federal crimes based on the Constitution, right? We've turned everything into a federal crime these days, but really the Constitution only delegates a limited amount of authority to the federal government to deal with issues that may be of federal nature in terms of crimes. There shouldn't be this massive police force led by a Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives group headed by a Federal Bureau of Investigation, headed by a Central Intelligence Agency, headed by a Justice Department or a Department of Justice, headed by a... What you get is this executive branch black op fiasco going on that pretends it's separate from the executive branch, but who gives the orders to who, when, where? There are no checks and balances, is my whole point.
No, and it seems like the president doesn't have much control over this Department of Justice. And these crimes you said, you know, there's all these new crimes and stuff. I wrote about that in my article about Representative Steve Stockman. You know, they use mail fraud, wire fraud, money laundering, and these are these vague descriptions, these vague laws that can apply to almost anything.
Well, and they do it on purpose because they know these vague terms. All they've got to do is deny you your witnesses, deny you due process of evidence, and then basically manipulate the jury. So one of the ways they did this to Steve Stockman is they really had these juries that Steve never even got to meet his accuser at. And they go over and over and over till they get you. And then once you get a chance in court, if you ever get one, you're in an uphill battle because you're already declared guilty, basically. And they've already got all the charges on the table, and the judge doesn't allow you to submit other things into court. Your witnesses aren't allowed to testify because they're deemed irrelevant, or they don't have standing, or all these other terms they use. And what they've really done is created a rigged system. But again, what do we do about it, though? The justice system is off the rails, led by the Justice Department. It's as unconstitutional as it all get out. Look in the Ammon Bundy case. The government lied so much, and a whistleblower caught him. And attorneys caught them to where they literally lied on the stand and got caught. But there's no accountability. And I say that's where the problem is.
Yeah, well, you, very well stated. You sound like you have a good handle on what's going on. And, you know, what do we do? I mean, as a journalist, I can shed light on it and write about these abuses. But
And by the way, thank the heavens you're doing it, Rachel.
Well, thank you. I'm doing it because it happened to me. So now I write about other people who are wrongly attacked through the legal system. Another former congressman I wrote about was Rick Renzi. Remember him?
A little bit.
Yeah, he's another one where they used all these amorphous charges against him, and they had the jury just, you know, confused, and they didn't understand these laws. I mean, what wire fraud and mail fraud, all that means is you put a letter in the mail, and, it, you know, the letter had to do with whatever they're trying to go after you for. I mean, that's not...
Well, and I'll give you examples to make the point. In your article, you talk about they claimed that he had a Wells Fargo account, suggesting that related to the money laundering. But that Wells Fargo got in trouble that they did that to everybody, where they created all these accounts for all kinds of people. Steve wasn't involved in that, but they used that as their manipulated tactic. And if you're not very savvy as a juror, if you're not fully informed, if you don't understand and you follow bogus instructions from the judge... in this case, from the rogue thug, then you end up with this idea that you're not even judging the correct reality or the proper discussion. You're judging what you think is the case, or you're judging what you're told are the rules, right?
Yep, and what they do, as you mentioned earlier, is they keep out all your favorable witnesses, your favorable evidence. The judge just denies it arbitrarily, and that's what they did in Steve's case. He wasn't able to, you know, prove his innocence.
How do we get a hold
Rachel,
of
Rachel, are you familiar with Congressman Hansen from Idaho years ago? He got what they called diesel therapy. And then are you familiar with the Bundy's situation?
I'm familiar with the Bundy's, but not the prior one.
All right, so George Hansen was a congressman of yesteryear that took on the IRS. We used to interview him back 25 years ago. And he took on the IRS, and they literally abused him, threw him in jail. They put him in diesel therapy, which means you don't get a jail. You just get driven around in a diesel, forced to stay awake all night. It's literally a torture mixed with a mobile prison, so to speak. It's called diesel therapy, where you don't eat and you don't get a chance to go to the bathroom, and you're kept awake all night and with lights and disturbances and stops and goes, and they create this confusion. They basically, anyway, drive you into a kind of a they drive you mad, so to speak, with this kind of abuse, this torture slash prison therapy thing. We used to talk to George Hansen, former congressman of Idaho. He's passed away now, but he got abused for years. Eventually, though, he got justice in the courts, and they proved he was right, but it was more than a day late and a dollar short. They ruined his health. They destroyed his life. And of course, it's the first abuse, as you write in your article, so well said, Rachel, as well, that, you know what, the takedown is what gets publicized. And then later, even if you're proven right and proven innocent, it doesn't matter much because it's too late, right?
Yeah, and you're exactly right how they ruin your life. They ruin your health. You know, remember Tom DeLay? You probably barely remember that he eventually won against all the charges against him. But it took years and years and millions of dollars to get to that stage. And then when he was exonerated, I remember the New York Times ran it on like a little blurb on page A18 or something like that.
And what happens is that whenever you hear Tom DeLay's name, you can't help it, but in your mind you think, oh, there's the, oh, that guy. And even though you know the truth, if you're like me, because you're in the media, you still go, oh, there's that guy. And you got to correct yourself almost, huh?
Yeah, because the tainted memory is stuck in your brain for, you know, so many years. I mean, his case was, you know, headlines for years. I remember it. And then I finally wrote about it after he got exonerated. But, yeah, I mean, his life is not ever going to be the same again. You know, how can you recover from millions of dollars and destroyed health?
Well, and how do you recover from the media blitz? Because they never cover it like they did when it first kind of breaks. And Steve Stockman.
Well,
and
just like she said, it was on page A18 or
yeah, that's
right. It's going to be A65 or whatever.
Well, think about Ammon Bundy. What about his name? Okay, the bottom line is the judge literally threw the case out with bias and said, you know what? The federal government literally perjured themselves. They lied in court. They withheld exculpatory, in other words, critical evidence, vital evidence. But you don't know the names of the people that did that. All you know is Ammon Bundy was a bad guy, but he has no charges now. He's free and innocent. But what's the bad name now in society? And it's Ammon Bundy. It's not all the guys that committed perjury and fraud and did all these things. And that's the problem I'm pointing at. There is no liberty, ladies and gentlemen, with innocence in prison. I'm telling you that right now. We got to do something about it, or else how long from the time it's Steve Stockman till the time it's me or you? Rachel Alexander with us. Stream.org, the website to read her incredible articles, or WND.com. Back in seconds with Rachel. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
If Planned Parenthood were what they publicly declare themselves to be, they would welcome transparency. We all know why they hide, because we know what they hide. We can confirm federal judges who follow the Constitution rather than reverse engineer their preferred policy outcomes. The truth about abortion is spreading because of advances in medical imaging, because of brave journalists, tireless activists, compassionate doctors, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. The rising generation of young Americans is the most pro-life in decades because they know too. And one day soon, we will reaffirm our nation's principles in their dignified fullness and avow once again that all men are created equal. All are entitled to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Rachel Alexander, ladies and gentlemen, on your radio, her incredible column, The Deep State Imprisons Another Good Guy. WND.com, stream.org to check it out. All I'm telling you, incredible column documenting what's going on here. And you highlight the fact that it took, what, 4 grand juries? Where Steve doesn't even get to represent himself, doesn't get to have his attorney there almost, doesn't get a chance to refute the evidence, doesn't get his witnesses there. Literally, not only did it take him forever to get this witch hunt, but then when they got it, I mean, he's never had any due process of law that I can see, Rachel.
Yeah, I mean, that's incredible. I'm a former prosecutor, and if you're having to get a fourth grand jury to get an indictment, you have a really, really poor case, and it shouldn't have been done anyway. And then they spent 4 years going after him, but this should have been something that should have taken 6 months. But instead, they spent millions and millions of dollars. And like you said, yeah, he didn't get a lot of due process all along the way. They wouldn't allow his witnesses. They wouldn't allow evidence of exoneration. They wouldn't allow evidence, you know, that he has done some good things, like the he got an award from one of the first colleges for the deaf. Because it does have a charitable heart, and he doesn't run sham charities. They tried to say he ran sham charities, and that's just not true.
Well, I think they tried to go for that, and then they realized that it didn't have any wings, and so they gave up on that, right?
Well, what they mainly got him on was they said that 4 donors had contributed to 2 charities. One was a C3 and one was a C4. and they said that that money was improperly used on a campaign mailer. That's the gist of it. And the deal was, is the C4 is allowed to do campaign mailers, and it didn't even say to endorse anybody. It just had the differences between Steve and his opponent.
But I got a problem. Even if we say that Steve's guilty, which I don't agree with at all, because I think the due process has been violated big time. And I think the rule of law and a speedy trial and everything else is in question on this thing. But besides that, though, even if there was a mistake like that, hey, 10 years in prison? This guy's, 50-something years old? He's a diabetic? I mean, if we're not careful, they're going to kill him.
Yeah, he's 62 years old.
All right, 62. I thought he was like 58 or something. All right, 62.
Yeah, and you usually see sentences of 10 years for people who have, like, you know, killed someone. You know, they did a study, and they found that the average public corruption sentence is, I think, 13 months. So he's already served several months. So why does he get 10 years for what everybody else gets 13 months for?
Well, I think in your article you highlight what the judge kind of did and said about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the judge was very biased all throughout the trial. She was rude and made fun of one of the key witnesses who says that Stockman was innocent. One of the judge's witnesses feels that. And she would roll her eyes, and after she announced the sentence, she sarcastically said, "That's a long time, Mr. Stockman. I think you earned it."
Now, I got a question, ladies and gentlemen. Should a judge be saying something like that no matter what? See, I don't think so. I don't think a judge should say you've earned it.
It's totally inappropriate. Judges get disciplined for saying things like that. I'm surprised no one's made a stink about it yet.
Well, I'm trying to right now. Your point's well taken. And this is what I mean. I don't know what Ammon Bundy asked, in my opinion, one of the most important questions of all, Rachel. You know, with land issues and jail issues and innocence and prison issues and due process issues, all these things at stake. Ammon Bundy has the most, in my opinion, really reflective phrase that we ought to really think about. What are we to do? What do we do about this? You've literally got Hillary Clinton running around, Bill Clinton running around. Bill Clinton has allegations that he's a rapist. Okay, and these allegations are credible and such. He was literally guilty and impeached over this very sexual matter and stuff. Okay, and it goes nowhere. And then you got Steve Stockman where they're like, "Well, we think you might have sent a bad letter." What? Okay, but this is commonplace, though. We imprison more people than anybody else in the world by far. We got 5% of the world's population, 25% or something of the world's locked up people. I mean, what on earth is going on in the land of the free, the home of the brave?
Yeah, our justice system is very screwed up, and I don't know, like you, I don't know how to fix it. I just know, you know, sunlight is a good disinfectant, and, you know, getting somebody in at the Attorney General's office to clean up the Department of Justice. But the problem is, it's not just the judges. You've also got, or, you know, it's not just the prosecutors. You've got the judges that are corrupt as well. You know, we've had years of Obama appointees put on the bench, and so it's very difficult for a conservative to get a fair trial.
I don't know what we should do about it. There's guys like us that are really trying to deal with prison reform. What we need is a presidential commission with a group of people that can look into these cases and make recommendations. Because I'm telling you right now, you got these shams, and I don't know what I can do more for Steve Stockman, for instance. I don't know what I can do. I mean, I tell everybody about it. I spread the word. I have on his wife. I have on you. You write about it. We do all we can. But, man, unless we can, like Kim Kardashian, roll into the White House and discuss this stuff, there's only so much we can do.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing as much as you can. I'm doing as much as I can. And the more we do it, the more the word spreads. And eventually, you know, we'll get somebody bigger like Michelle Malkin to write about it. And then maybe it'll finally get some legs. But he is going to appeal, as you know. And so it's not over. And, you know, I think he's going to ask Trump for a pardon as well. So hopefully this problem can be fixed. But the poor man's already spent several months in prison.
Well, he's been in since April, right?
Yeah.
So what do you got? May, June, July, August, September, October, November. You've already got 7 months, plus how much money spent, plus how much aggravation and frustration. My real problem is these juries, though, where he doesn't even get to face his accuser. I mean, he's basically, when you come out of those juries where you don't have a chance to represent yourself at all or have anybody represent you or get your evidence there or refute what's being said, and they literally start out with indictments, aren't you already in a big hole?
Oh, yeah, and it's even worse because, you know, they used four grand juries to finally get him. The first three thought he was innocent. So he's been really targeted worse than a lot of people I've seen in the criminal justice system.
All I'm saying is I look at this and I don't know what should be done. Meaning that we're doing all we can do, and it's just not enough, though. And I just feel like we've got to do something more, but I don't know what it is. I don't know what I can do more than use all the media influence that I have to make a difference. We've literally got a website called thefreedomcoalition.com, Rachel. And on that website, we literally talk about there is no liberty with innocence in prison. We give a few examples. And we've got Roger Stone and Judge Napolitano and Ted Nugent and many other people that have agreed to help us with this. But somehow the needle just doesn't move.
Well, one thing in Steve's case is they've started a website called defendapatriot.com. And people can go there for updates and can contribute because he's going to need a legal defense fund. They've said he owes over $1 million in restitution divided between him and two co-defendants. I don't know how he's ever going to come up with that.
I know, and I am grateful for Defend a Patriot. I want to do all we can to help with that website and promote that all we can too. But I just look at it and I say, man, I've tried to reach out to the guy that raised $500,000 for Judge Napolitano. Or not Napolitano, I'm sorry, Judge Kavanaugh. It turned out that he had to give the money to charity because Kavanaugh couldn't even take any of it anyway. And the guy won't email me back. I mean, we're doing everything that we can. I don't know. Should we organize a rally on Capitol Hill? What should we do?
You know, the ironic thing is Steve himself is a really good fundraiser.
Yeah, but he can't fundraise when they got him in prison.
Yeah.
And here's my problem.
He stopped fundraising, so they put him in prison.
This whole time they put him in prison, though, they claimed that he was a flight risk, right?
They claimed he was a flight risk.
But this is a pattern. They said that about Ammon Bundy and those guys. Even though they had documents to the contrary, they falsely claimed that and got caught.
Yeah.
So this is a pattern of when they violate due process.
Well, they're just trying to intimidate them and make them scared and make them cave and give in is why they do it.
All right. I guess Kurt's got some Drudge headlines. Hopefully they're related to this here, Kurt.
Well, you know, it basically shows where we are in America, Sam. And, you know, nobody likes to hear we're in a tough spot, whether you're Steve Stockman or anybody else. But, you know, I look at these stories, you know, where they talk about porn dominating the web. You've got the royal lesbian love triangle. Then you've got, you know, Rush Limbaugh, when he's talking about the California fires and things, saying, hey, one of his buddies wanted to say wrath of God, and Rush said, don't go there. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, don't talk about that. But then the HBO's Westworld Church was the only set structure to survive the Woolsey fire.
Well, I'm afraid God's the only one that can save us at this point, ladies and gentlemen. The system has just got too corrupt. Rachel Alexander with us in seconds.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
I'll tell you when the government takes off the gloves, Rachel. Rachel is with us, ladies and gentlemen. She's a well-known author. Stream.org, her website. WND.com, she writes for as well. Rachel Alexander, phenomenal author. We're talking about the deep state imprisons another good guy article. Incredible stuff about former Congressman Steve Stockman. We're praying that he gets out. The only thing that might save us is God these days, it seems. But it seems to me there's a running theme. George Hanson got literally taken down because he decided to take on the IRS. And it seems like anybody who takes on the IRS literally gets thrown to the wolves, Rachel.
Yeah, you bring up a good point because Stockman took on the IRS. And he also took on, you know, the Obama administration. There's some ties, and I don't have them right in front of me here, but there's some connections between Lois Lerner and the prosecution of him. So he was definitely targeted because of his conservative activism. He wasn't just one of those congressmen that kind of sits, you know, underneath his seat and tries to hide. He actively was a whistleblower on the Obama administration's corruption with actions like calling for the House Select Committee to investigate the government's handling of the Benghazi embassy tragedy. He exposed Obama's payment to the Haqqani terrorist network in exchange for the release of Army deserter Bo Bergdahl. And he revealed Hillary Clinton's violation of the Iran sanctions to allow the sale to Iran of specialized steel used in nuclear weapons.
He highlighted this stuff. He was willing to stand up. He was the one that called for Mark Levin to be Speaker of the House, basically saying, look, we got to have transparency here. We shouldn't elect these speakers in secret, number one. And number two, it doesn't even have to be a member of Congress. In fact, it ought to be somebody on the outside. And he highlighted that reality, too. And, hey, you take on the deep state or you take on the swamp, whatever term you want to use. I used to call it the shadow government because that's the term that I was familiar with back, you know, 30 years ago when I got into this stuff or whatever. You're in trouble. And I think it's especially when you take on the IRS. How is Lois Lerner free and Steve Stockman's in prison? How is that, Rachel?
That is such a good question. I mean, her corruption is so obvious to all of us out there, whereas his corruption, all you see is a convoluted story, and when you actually, you know, wind your way through it and get to the bottom of everything, you're like, there is nothing here. The emperor has no clothes.
How is Hillary Clinton free and anyway, finish that, right?
Yeah, the only reason I bring up Lois Lerner is because that's the one that he literally said, hey, you know what? He was the lone man to stand up and say, hey, she needs to be arrested. She's out of control. He was spot on, but nobody else had the guts to back him in it, did they, Rachel?
No. He was a rare lone voice in Congress, and for that, he's paying the price now. They came after him so hard with the unlimited pockets of the Department of Justice, and you know, it's just a disgrace that they would get four grand juries because they couldn't get the first three to indict him. That is disgusting and despicable, and that is definitely a violation of our due process.
How is Lois Lerner free, and Steve Stockman in prison. I'm just telling you, that is the headline that we need to take to Washington, D.C. Maybe we need to create a rally. I don't know how we get Donald Trump's attention. Miss Cortez, the well-known socialist, just busted into Nancy Pelosi's office and demanded they deal with climate change. And she literally led a thug band of protesters. And Nancy said, oh, this is great. We got to work on this. And again, that's the first foray into politics that Miss Cortez has. She's up in Washington. She's begging people to help her buy an apartment or rent an apartment because it's too expensive. But then she's going to have a $175,000 salary in what, a month and a half or so? Very strange stuff. But she literally busted into the congresswoman's office and said, we got to deal with this climate change. Now, I don't know if we ought to go that far because I'm just not that kind of guy. I don't run around with bullhorns. I don't bust into people's offices. I don't break the law. I don't destroy property. The problem is our side is just so docile, we can't get anything done, Rachel. How do we be followers of Christ, following the Prince of Peace, at the same time bold enough to move the needle?
I'm getting a lot of static, but I heard you. What I think is we need to promote some of these, you know, active voices that on our side. You know, Candace Owens comes to mind. You know, she's young, a fresh face. You know, represents blacks, and, you know, she's got the guts to stand up to, you know, a lot of this corruption. She's not going to back down. She's going to be a loud voice like Cortez, but she's not going to be, you know, violent or engage in the Antifa type of tactics that I could see Cortez engaging in.
Trump DOJ declines to charge Lois Lerner, a key figure in IRS scandal. Now, the Chicago Tribune wrote that article. What do you say to that, Rachel?
It's absolutely outrageous. And, you know, I used to work as a high-level advisor, you know, to the county attorney. And I can tell you there are things going on within the Department of Justice that called for them not to bring charges against her. Fishy things going on. And unfortunately, we don't know, you know, how or why.
But I'm just saying, this is Trump that had the time, and this is kind of my point. Trump had the time to protect Lois Lerner and stop the DOJ, but he has no control over it, right? They're all against him, right? Something's not adding up, man.
People keep saying, you know, he's not allowed to tell the DOJ what to do. You know, they say there's a problem with him firing Sessions, but that's not true. They're both part of the executive branch, and the president is over the DOJ. So I think if the president wanted to direct DOJ to reopen up an investigation into Lois Lerner, he could.
Well, if he could dismiss it, he could certainly open it up, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could do something. I just think that President Trump's probably overwhelmed with all of the other things he's got to be doing, and so maybe it's lower priority.
And let's make it clear, I'm not here to attack President Trump. I don't know what information he had at the time. There's no doubt there's so many things to do. The swamp's so big, so deep. So, you know, I get it. I'm not here to attack him. What I am here to say is, President Trump, if you have time to literally decline the Justice Department, or the Justice Department declines Lerner, either you need to speak up and stand against the Justice Department on that one, or you need to come back and say, hey, you know what? No harm, no foul. We're letting Steve out, too. But you can't have it both ways, and you can't make time for one but say you're too busy for the other. See, that's the problem that I'm having, is this double standard going on. If you're an inside swamp monster from Hillary to Lois to who knows who, then you're fine. But if you attack the IRS, or if you're one of the American people standing up for our values, how are we going to make America great again with Lois free and Steve in prison? So I'm just saying, at some point, I don't buy it. At some point, I don't give a pass.
And it doesn't make any sense with Trump, a Republican, you know, over the DOJ. Why are we still going after the Steve Stockmans and not going after the Lois Lerners? You know, this should be fair, you know, and I know that Republicans are less likely to target Democrats and things like that. But, you know, Lois Lerner's corruption is blatantly obvious. Steve Stockman's wasn't, because I don't believe he is corrupt.
Well, I'm convinced he's not corrupt, and I have personal stories that I wish I could have been a witness and tell the judge in this I don't know what you call it, this Star Chamber grand jury where Steve isn't there to represent himself. You know, some of the important points of due process is you get to face your accusers. You get to call your witnesses. You get a transparent ability to tell the tale of what really happened from your perspective. And you get a chance to straighten out this example that he had a Wells Fargo account. Well, hey, you know what? How do we know Wells Fargo didn't just open it up by themselves like they did everybody else? They got caught in a big old multi-billion-dollar scandal on that one. Okay, but I want to testify because I personally dealt with Steve Stockman. It was him and me talking on the phone. It wasn't anybody else. And literally, I said, hey, we want you to come and speak at our conference for the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. He said, I'd love to come. I said, you know what? We'll pay your hotel. We'll pay your flight. No problem. We'll cover the expenses. We do that for our speakers. And he said, wow, I don't know if I can do that. That might be against the law. Let me check with, I don't know the name of the group, but he checked with some organization that's supposed to kind of vet things and make sure it's okay. And he came back and he said, look, I can come and speak, but I can't take your money and I can't take your hotel. I'll get there and I'll take care of it all. Don't worry, I'll be there, though. And so he came and spoke for us, but he was so honest he wouldn't even take us covering his flight to get there to speak. Okay, that's a personal example that I know. Why can't I testify to his character in that regard? I wasn't even notified that he was put in prison till after the fact.
Yeah, your testimony would not have been allowed at the trial because the defense's witnesses were all excluded by the judge. You know, the judge seemed to be friends with the guy he ran against for office, and so, you know, that he put out that mailer just pointing out the difference between the two candidates. And so there is some evidence that the judge was biased against him. You know, she should have recused herself from the case.
Well, and now we should be able to, somebody ought to be able to sue the judge, right? Oh, I guess they can't be sued. Is that how it is?
Oh, the reason I got targeted is because my ex-boss sued judges and put my name on it. So you don't want to sue judges because no other judge is going to rule against another judge. That is almost never happens.
What do they call a government where you got officials above the law? You got Hillary above the law, Lois Leonard above the law, these judges above the law. We're creating a special class. The founding fathers would be turning in their graves, Rachel.
Well, it's no longer a constitutional republic at that point. You know, it's an aristocracy or an oligarchy or, you know, something else. We've lost our, you know, checks and balances.
All right. Did you hear about the company that's giving their employees handguns for Christmas, Rachel? Yeah, man, it's a Wisconsin company called Binshot, B-E-N-S-H-O-T, binshot.com, and they create bulletproof shot glasses and such, and employees are required to take a gun safety course before they can get their gift for Christmas, and I guess they got bulletproof glass shot glasses and glassware that's all made in the USA, and they're giving their 16 employees handguns for Christmas, man.
Oh, I wish the stream would do that.
Anyway, I'm just telling you, it's kind of at least a story that gets you a little bit of hope, huh? I'm just telling you, I don't know what to do about this.
People out there.
By the way, myself and Sheriff Richard Mack and many others, Sheriff Mack beat Bill Clinton to the Supreme Court over the Brady Bill. The only guy to go to the Supreme Court with Bill Clinton, not regarding a sexual matter. And but we still can't move the needle on this. We still can't. We've got to get audience with President Trump or somebody, maybe the new Justice Department. Wait, can you go there? Will the Justice Department head make... What was Jeff Sessions? He was the Justice Department leader?
The Attorney General.
Attorney General, but that's the leader of the Justice Department, right?
Yes.
So I'm saying, what is he, Justice Department leader?
Well, behind the scenes, the leader's probably somebody different, but, you know.
Okay, it's a good, valid point of the swamp, Kurt. You're right. So what I'm getting at, though, is now who's the new guy? He's the what, temporary guy? The what do they call that, the acting director or whatever?
Yeah, and right. He seems tremendous already.
Well, maybe we could sit down with him. How do we get an appointment with him, Rachel? Do you think you can call him for me?
I don't have any connections like that.
See, the problem is, you know, Kanye can just call up and say, hey, Don, me and Kim are coming over. Cool? Hey, yo, I got some more durs. Come on in. Baby, take your coat off, Kim. And then you and I are just struggling to talk to anybody to move the needle on this. Our prayers are with you, Rachel. Thank you for your incredible article. We hope to have you back soon.
Thank you so much. Bye.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen, Rachel Alexander, stream.org, WND.com. Her incredible articles, The Deep State Imprisons Another Good Guy, an article documenting the details with former Congressman Steve Stockman. Our prayers are with Steve and our prayers are with Rachel. And she wrote the article, 2016 affidavit, A Broward County election worker saw them empty ballots being filled out, and they fired her. Are we going to get to the truth? I pray so. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.